terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change, God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Why do you discipline your child? Because you love them. Because you want them to learn process for their benefit. And when we're not learning obedience, God will discipline us for our benefit. Not because God's up there looking for somebody to spank. He's purposely wanting you to learn and to grow. But there's this link that I think most of us don't get. We look at the Old Testament type of thing in obedience. But let me take you to John chapter 3. Okay, very famous chapter, right? What's the most famous verse most people know? I suggest you read, by the way, John 3 and look at that in context, will you? I mean, there's great stuff in John chapter 3. But if we go to chapter 3 and verse 36... Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And we go, amen. Watch the link. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. Wait a minute. But the wrath of... I'm not saved by works, I know. But he says, if it's in you, if you believe, obedience follows. Now, you got to understand, don't take our Western American cultural mindset and put it upon the Jewish first century culture. In those days, if there was no action, there was no belief. And so you could say it all you want until you act upon it, you didn't really believe. We even see that in James. But that's the context when God calls us to believe. Matter of fact, one of the words in the Bible that's translated to disbelieve or disobey, they also translate disbelief. Same word. In the negative, that obedience and these words are linked too much where they use them synonymously. We don't think that way. I believe, I'm under grace, I get to do what I want. That kind of mentality. No, that's not belief. All right? And where we have a problem with it is this. We tend to say, you can't judge the heart condition of someone else. I go back to Joshua or Caleb. What's he say? Just what was in my heart is what I was telling you. What was in his heart compared to everybody else? Why? God said so? Let's go. That outward action of that even stating out of his mouth that God can and let's move was coming from his heart, okay? And so what we get concerned about, because we've all seen people judge other people unjustly or wrongly. But there's fruit to belief. James' whole thing. Dead faith, no works. Real faith, works. Now, James is talking, by the way, horizontal. He's not talking salvation. He's talking this way because his comparisons are even natural. If you say to your brother, you know, and he's hungry, cold, if you give him you walk away and say, hey, be well fed and stay warm, he's talking horizontal. He's not talking about salvation this way. He's talking about from the outside, from me and you, show me your faith by your works. Not show God, show me. And so there's this link between, that's my next point, faith and obedience. Okay? Whoever does, where'd I go? Oh, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's the parable, the story of Jesus. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house on the rock. What? And what was he saying? The wise man who doesn't just hear it, does it. Faith comes by. Yeah, but it's manifested in building on a rock. It's manifested in that way, okay? Benjamin Franklin said in the Poor Richard's Almanac, if you guys know what that is, how many observe Christ's birthday? How few his precepts. But he was just a deist, by the way. But there's that link, and there's a link between this, love and obedience. So I'm saying faith and obedience, belief and obedience, love and obedience. Okay? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay, that's John again, 14:15, 14:24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. That's Jesus now. That's not Old Testament. That's not James. That's Jesus. Your love for Christ manifests out in obedience to him. And this is the principle that we draw from this. God honors obedience. And it actually says, because Caleb followed wholly, fully, that's why. I know it's by grace. I know it's out of the kindness of the Lord. And I know it's God that's going to give Caleb the ability and kept him young all these years. I understand that. But why? Because he followed fully. Even when Moses made the promise to him, told him what God's promise was, he even said it did. Because you've wholly or fully followed the Lord, therefore. Now, I want you to think of Caleb. He hears that word way back here when he's 40 years old. Because you've wholly followed, you get this. What if I mess up between now and then? What if I only halfway from here out? Do I still get in? Do I still get the promise? I don't know about if he's normal, okay? He's thinking, then we do that. But we do know by the time he gets to 85, he's fully followed the Lord. Wow, I hope when they bury me, somebody will say that. He messed up along the way, but man, in his heart, he was going after it with all he got. I really hope that's the case. So again, God honors obedience. It's linked to belief, it manifests. It's linked to love, it manifests. And there's blessings that come from obedience. And please, I know because a particular strain out there of so-called Christianity has overused the word blessing. You know, send in your $1,000 today and receive your blessing. You know how many messages you can find on getting your blessing? Okay, it's because that word's been robbed in so many ways. Please don't let that, but God blesses obedience. He just simply does. It's all throughout Scripture. The other thing that we find in this process is God honors faithfulness. Okay, I got mine. God promised me up to this point. I fully follow God. Moses makes the promise. Good, I'll set back. If you recall, Moses says, if you fight with your brothers to help them take the land, then you could have yours. But wait a minute, I've wholly followed. They haven't. Right? Matter of fact, if you read the story, they wanted to stone Josh and Caleb. Wait a minute, I got to help those people who want to kill me take their promise? I don't like that idea. I've done my part to hear. Why do I got to stand with them? I think you're all probably smart enough to make some connections of that in your life. Okay? But we see this in the New Testament concept here. And this will actually be part of something that I speak on next week. But in Matthew chapter 25, in the parable of the talents. Right? The owner, the investor is going away. He gives talents to each one differently. Right? But when you get done on the two faithful servants, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in little things. Therefore, I will set you over or make you ruler over much. See, there not only is there a reward to obedience in the kingdom, but there's a reward to faithfulness in the kingdom. Now, in a natural, let me give you a natural example of that. As most of you knew, I moved 22 times in my 18 years at home. There wasn't anything steadfast in my home but the Bible. That was the consistent thing. Bible, 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 Bible. Okay? But as far as everything else goes, it wasn't very consistent. All right? And I didn't really know most of my extended family. You know what I mean? It wasn't until later adult years that I sort of really got to know them. This kind of thing. My brothers, we all don't come home for Christmas, Thanksgiving. We all don't. Because life was just, who knows where we'd be at a particular Christmas. I went to 5 different junior high schools in 2 years. Where are you going to be for Christmas? I don't know. My kids don't miss it. It was just this. And I'm going to say, it's just that constant. Matter of fact, grandma better make the same exact foods every Christmas. My wife caught this, and she's created a monster in our house. Because God forbid she doesn't do the same thing for their birthday this year that she did last year. Those of us outside of the more liturgical churches. We tend to think of tradition almost in a negative because of what the Catholic Church did with it. They'll tell you that tradition holds as much clout as the Word of God. So we want to sort of like that word blessing, veer away from it. But that steadfast consistency, that faithfulness, even in the natural, there's blessings to that. You can actually get a house paid off when you stay in it. You can actually live without car payments when you keep it long enough. I mean, even in the natural, there's blessings to that. And that's just an outcome, I think, of a spiritual truth. This spiritual truth, give to receive, big business has figured that out. I can take advantage of the customers. I can take advantage of the environment. I can take advantage of my employees. But that only lasts so long. But if I give to help keep the environment, if I give to make my employee, it's to my benefit. That natural, it plays out in the natural, even though it's a spiritual principle. The spiritual principle that obedience brings blessing, so is God honors faithfulness. Faithfulness brings blessing. So we see this thing, 45 years, walking it out, staying steadfast, not giving up, sort of along the line of the last 2 weeks, that perseverance thing. We don't see anywhere that Joshua complained about happened to help you get your promise when it was y'all that wanted to stone me type thing. And so steadfastness, faithfulness brings that. And the other thing is God honors faith. Now, back in Numbers, when the 12 sides were spent, here's what Caleb says in Numbers 13 and 30. Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able, for we are well able, not just able, well able, to overcome it. He will, verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 8, he will bring us into the land and give it to us. He becomes the spokesman, by the way. When the spies come back and the crowds got all stirred up, he's, whoa, calm down, folks. God's big enough to do this. I believe God can do this. Now, I want you to notice, those 10 saw, nowhere did the other two deny what the 10 saw. They didn't go, there's no giants. What are you talking about? No, there's no fortified cities. They don't do that. They saw the same exact thing in the natural. But see, their hearts were different. There was something different in their hearts. That was, I believe God. God said this can be done, so therefore it can be done. God says you can write a book, so you write one. But here's the part that amazes me. We'll go back to verse 12 here, chapter 14. Listen, Caleb's not dumb to watch ahead. He doesn't recognize the natural. Look what he says. So give me the hill country. How do you like fighting uphill? And especially when we get to Gath. You can see 360. They see you coming when you attack Gath. He's choosing to fight uphill. Don't give me the flatland. It's easy. Give me the uphill. Yeah, how many times do you ask God for the uphill? The climb. For you heard that day how the Anakim were there. I want it uphill and I want giants. Here's God. I want it, God, and I want it hard. How often do we ask God for the hard? Make it hard, God. Now, wait a minute. I want to fight uphill. I want to fight giants. And by the way, they got fortified cities. Give it to me. Take it on. Come on. Ooh. Oh, God, give me that. That when you speak to me, I say, oh, God, let's go. And I don't care if it's hard. Let's go. What about you? I don't want it hard. Caleb, in his faith, I'm no idiot. I can see hills. I can see fortified cities. Let's go. Oh, man, God, that I could. I want you to understand, this is a spiritual thing. I'm not making that up, Numbers 14 and 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. There's that phrase again. I wonder why his spirit was different than the other ones. why he can operate in faith, why he can be obedient, why he can be steadfast. Not because he fed his flesh, but something was different in his spirit. I ask you a question. Can anybody name any of those 10 other spots? Their names are listed, but we don't remember them. See, we remember the guy who wandered around with all the losers for 45 years. I mean, I'm going to say it like that. I'm not saying they're all. The guy that waited 45 years to get his promise. I want you to, this victory, 10 spies, no, we think you should go. And a week later, he gets his promise. The guys we remember, Joshua and Caleb, 45 years later, are still fighting. Wow. Wow. When God speaks to us, whatever it is, I'm being asked to return over to the Cambodian stuff, and I'm still seeking God on that, and God would have supply a way and so on. But I know this, and Tim will tell you, that is not an easy journey. I'm not foolish, naive to what's there. I do want God to make, I want to make sure that's what God wants me to do. But I know this, if he does want me to do that, I don't care how bad your back is. I don't care how you, God will get it done. Okay? And so, some things you don't need to pray about. Can I get through this marriage? Can I take it? Yeah, you can. But it's hard. I know, it's a giant. It's a fortified city. It's an uphill fight. I know that. But remember, it's God that brings the honor, not your spouse. Amen. They may never give you reward for being that way. That relationship may never, that job may not. That steadfast faithfulness of pouring into your kid, mama, day after day after day of pouring into those kids, and they turn 13, 14 and say things to you that break your heart. You may not see that, but I want you to understand, in the kingdom, God honors it. And we tend to forget our reward is not here. Store up treasures in heaven. In a sense, we can take it with us. Not the stuff of this world, but the stuff of the kingdom that we've built up, if you will. We do take it with us in that sense. God will honor that. And I really believe even in this life, let's just say for the sake of argument, you've poured yourself into your kids and they grow up, never come home again. But I'll tell you, in this life, somebody's going to look at you. And I just had breakfast with a fellow this week. And he's honoring not his mom and dad, they're gone. But he and his wife determined to honor her father. And her father has been, well, he was supposed to die a while back. Okay? So between the two of them, 24/7, somebody's with dad. Cleaning dad up. I'm going to leave that alone. Dad's hunched over, looks down all the time. Pretty good attitude, though. But so, you know, they make sure they buy dad the big print Bible. So when he's looking down, he can read it. Okay? 24/7, someone's with dad. And when I've known him a while, and we talked about it, and I says, I gotta tell you this. Boy, I admire you. Is that admiration I have for him's not in the sweet by and by. And one of the things he had lunch, it's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. It's lasting longer than we thought. We're glad to have him, but it's hard. And so I know he just wanted encouragement. He wanted to hear what he already knew. Okay, but there's a reward even in this life as I look at he and his wife and go, wow, you might be doing something I'm not sure I can. It may not be your kids. It might be your grandkids. It might be someone else. But I really believe even in this life, we receive a portion of that honor God gives us for being obedient, for being steadfast, faithful, and being one who acts in faith. I believe. Anybody here know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer was? How many other German pastors you know from that period of time? See, we would look, and by the way, he was a pastor in Germany during Hitler's reign, and just before the war ended, Hitler had him killed. And he wrote a lot, not all of his theology I agree with, but I equate my calling purpose somewhat with a Dietrich Bonhoeffer type calling. I don't care how bad it gets, I can't run. I'm still going to have to stand on the street corner and declare. And I'm saying God, I'm not saying run is bad. God might call people to, there were people that were called, for example, to the resistance even in Germany, and they were underground. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was called to be out in the open. Okay? So, but we read about them. Why? George Mueller, orphanages, England. Okay. These, we read about them. Why? Because it was easy? No, because that steadfast, that obedience, that faith, and you could read George Mueller's book on prayer, all right? Those kind of things. That's in this life. Are they being honored in this world? Yes. I don't do it for that, but I just want to let you know, in this world, there is a reward for that. Caleb gets to see his reward. It's not easy. Would you volunteer? He volunteered. Nobody made him. Volunteered for the uphill fight against giants and fortified cities. I'm going to be straight. We in America don't volunteer for such things. Matter of fact, if you don't have the programs I have, if you don't have the pews I'm comfortable with, if you don't play the music I want, if you're a mile too far away, I ain't even going to church. And I'm not doing that to condemn. I'm trying to put it in perspective. What is God saying to you? You go, wait a minute, God, that's uphill. And I'm old. Or I'm tired. And so you don't have to be physically old. Life can make you old. You're just tired. But wait a minute, it's God that gave Caleb the strength. I imagine Caleb had wrinkles like everybody else. I would imagine he's not all cut and buff like he was when he was younger. So in the kid's picture, I tried to put wrinkles on the guy's face to make him look older. All right, I'm sure that was the case if he looked in the mirror. But he understood it was in Christ that it was being done. In God that it was being done. Not necessarily in his own flesh that it was being done. What is God saying to you? And I'm going to tell you right now, God's speaking to us as elders about this church, and we're going, man, that's uphill. Aren't you elders? Yeah, that's uphill, and that's a big fortified city. Are you sure about this, God? Your life's going to, young people, listen to me. Life's going to hand you this. If you decide to sign up for the military, you're going uphill. Yeah. If you decide to go to college, you're going uphill. You just decide to get a job, and all the adults said, because, yeah, you know, when you get your job, life's good now, and you have your own place. It's wonderful, right? Now, the fight has just begun. And we look at that, and we speak about young people, and we sort of laugh, and yeah, oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. But it ain't any different for you. Senior citizenship's coming up on you if you're my age. Hip replacements, right, Bob? Things like that have come up. Nobody says those are easy. But wait a minute, God, if I walk in you in faithful and obedience, somehow that brings reward. Or in the New Testament concept, all things work to the and are called according to. Not all things work to the good when you do what you want. All things were to good when those were called according to his purpose. And Caleb knew that if he walked in the purpose of God, somehow God works this out for his good. So let me take them on. Give them to me. I don't care if they're giants or four. Boy, let me pray. Particularly as the new year comes, we tend to make resolutions. God, help me to pray. God, give me giants. Let me slay giants. Let me take conquered cities. Let me fight uphill. Because when I'm, know when I'm coasting downhill? I saw a video, to wrap it up with this illustration. It's a bike race. And the slope's going down a little bit, like just a little. And everybody's working hard trying to pass another. But then in the video, this is bicycle. The guy does Superman. You know what Superman is if you do motocross? He lays on his seat. Now, if I had to do that, I couldn't keep my body stiff. I don't have the muscles for it anymore. He lays like this. And you watch him go from seventh to first. Because he knew even if he was going downhill, he had to work at it. You can pedal and do what you want and sort of let that go. But watch this. I'm going to be, we think he took the easy route. You put your belly, your midsection, on a bicycle seat and hold your legs stiff out the back. How long can you do that? He goes, wait a minute, I can't do what everybody else is doing and win this. I've got to even make going downhill a little bit of work. But when I do, now come on, does the world know this idea? You put a little more in than the other guy? You put in the extra hour. They know that works. God, I'm willing to put in the extra hour. I'm willing to put my belly on the bicycle seat. I don't know about you, but that sounds really uncomfortable to me. Maybe it doesn't to you, but it does to me. Even if life seems like right now you're coasting downhill. Wait a minute, God, is there something you can call me to? Maybe it's a little bit hard in this season that I can excel in you and get a victory over something that I haven't? Let Caleb and Joshua, but particularly Caleb, be your example. I don't care if it's mountains or giants, or give it to me, God. Give it to me, God. Let's stand. Father, particularly as Americans, we, God, deliver me. God, save me from hardship. That's our cry. God, that we would be like Caleb. Give me the hardship, but you and I, oh God, will overcome. God, I can't imagine what our nation would be like if that was the heart of your church. It's hard, and I volunteer. God, manifest yourself in us. Help us to be faithful and steadfast, obedient and faith-filled. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.